I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
All right, we have a chance at money coming up in about 15 minutes. You're probably familiar by now with the keyword that we got going on. What is it? Inflation vacation. You can win $1,000. All you have to do is enter the keyword at the website and then be checking your email and see whether or not you're a winner. We're going to return with the Moist Line day after tomorrow. Plenty of time for you to leave messages. You do have to either call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886, or use the iHeartRadio app and use the microphone icon to leave a message. So there's two writers with the El Segundo Times, not as familiar with them, but they did quite a story. Rachel Uranga and Melissa Hernandez.
Yes.
The online headline in the El Segundo Times is "The New Sixth Street Bridge's Baptism by L.A. Street Racers, Skaters, Taggers, and a Crash."
Now, here's what's offensive about the headline. They act as if this is the way Los Angeles treats a new bridge. Most people just drive over a bridge or walk or bike over it.
Take a picture. Right.
Yeah, most people act civilized. They don't engage in racing. They don't deface it with graffiti. They don't cause car accidents. So this is not LA's baptism of the bridge. This is the criminal element's baptism of the bridge. Because most of what's described here are crimes. They're breaking the law doing all this stuff.
Yes, but instead it's sort of presented as...
It's glamorized.
This is part of the culture. Welcome to LA.
Yeah, crime culture.
Exactly right. Skateboarders, cruisers, taggers, street racers, scooter ditchers, bicyclists, tourists, and plain old commuters are taking it from here. I like the way they're all mixed in one sentence.
I know. Isn't that two separate categories? I would take the street racers and the taggers and put them in a separate category from the bicyclists and the tourists.
Right. That's then not one, the same. One level down are the cruisers and the skateboarders who don't commit crimes, but otherwise are kind of, you know.
Create a
quality of life thing.
Right? Yeah, right. But there's three categories. There's outright criminals. There's people who create a difficult environment. And then there are people who are normal. They just drive over the bridge, bike, or walk over the bridge, which is what a normal civilized society does.
Apparently, there's already huge skid marks. If you take a look at the bridge from the air, you can see them because people are, they're driving in circles. Donuts, they call them. Burnouts.
Now, is there any reason that the Mayor Bozo, I forgot. He's back in Washington begging for his ambassadorship, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that story later.
But if we didn't have a mayor vacancy, you'd have police patrols there. You just would have their presence. That's all you need to do. And then, when the first drag race...
They claim they're doing that now. Regular police patrols were stepped up after what's been happening the last week.
Always a day late.
Continued into the weekend. Skateboarders hurled down the tall arches. Oh, man. They could die doing that. Mm. Spectators climb up to big heights. On Sunday, LAPD shut down the bridge again, they put in a tweet, because of the street takeover on the bridge.
Yeah, I hate that phrase now, a takeover.
What Kevin DeLeon says. This is the first bridge built in the Instagram era of LA, as we've seen people will do anything in the pursuit of virality. What? It's a guy that can't recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and he's using the term virality.
He tries a word that...
To go viral.
I've never heard of that before.
Right, but that means they want to go viral on Instagram with something cool to post about the bridge. He says that drag racing is just part of the bridge's story. It's great to see people come out. He's just ignoring what's going on.
It's not part of the bridge's story. It's just part of out-of-control behavior by young guys with nothing to do.
Right.
That's what it is. Most young men do not engage in street racing. Until 2 o'clock in the morning, because they have school and jobs to go to. But
one
then
woman
you have...
thought she was going to die. There's a guy that came on the bridge in a Dodge Challenger. He spun his wheels and then he slammed on the gas and he got stuck between oncoming and parked cars, hit a wall. He hopped out of the car and ran away. A woman named Jessica Pugach was driving home and her car, a Nissan Sentra, was totaled. She said, if my car wasn't stopped, I would have flown over the bridge. I don't even know how I'm alive right now.
Right. So what he did is he crashed into a number of oncoming cars and parked cars and then crashed into a wall. This is what the writers Rachel Uranga and Melissa Hernandez are glamorizing and celebrating. That should have been a lead paragraph on how... this poor woman came close to dying because of this dangerous, reckless, violent driving by this local whack job representing LA culture.
They talked to a professor at Cal State Northridge. Oh. People will make meaning out of public spaces, and maybe it doesn't always align with the city.
Boy, is that a lot. Denise Sandoval, a professor at Cal State Northridge. Oh, listen to this. A veteran researcher and curator of lowrider culture. These are jobs. These are real jobs that taxpayers pay for. You're paying for this woman. She's a curator of lowrider culture. And this makes meaning out of public spaces. A bridge is constructed to get people peacefully from one side to the next as you go over a river or land, anything where you need a shortcut. That's the meaning of the bridge. The meaning of the bridge is to shorten a journey. There is no other meaning to the bridge. This is criminal activity on the bridge, dangerous activity. What if Jessica Pugach had gotten killed? Would they have written this story? I mean, she came close to getting killed. How would the story be written if she actually got killed? Would all these people be celebrating this criminal culture?
Another guy they talked to, Eric Avila, an urban historian at UCLA.
There's another one we're paying for.
Wow. Given the scope and the frequency of that activity, why should we be surprised that it's on the new shiny bridge? The dynamic exists in most every modern city around the world, people using these spaces in ways that were not intended by the designers or sponsors. Same quote as the other woman.
Right. Right. They're using the spaces in a different way than what the city leaders conceived. This is an alternate way of exploring their identity and expressing their creativity rather than you boring people who simply walk and drive over the bridge. Don't you understand? These are artists at work here. They're unleashing their energy and their passion to show you the meaning that lies beneath the cement.
My favorite is Anne Laborde, 70-year-old retired healthcare manager from West Hollywood, came to walk the bridge with her nephew and her best friends. Los Angeles is one of the most highly segregated cities in the country. So anything that LA does to bring its communities together, I'm for. I happen to love graffiti.
Great.
Okay.
Well, and if it was on her house?
Yeah, exactly right. Or some other place she goes, museum.
What if they did street racing in front of her house while her nephew and friends were playing?
The only thing I see when I see graffiti is that's it. It's a slum, it's a quality of life issue.
It's criminal law.
It's not a big crime, but it's a quality of life issue. The neighborhood goes down with graffiti.
No, it's a sign that
right away people say, "Well, gangs come here.
Right.
This is not a good place."
Yeah, no, because a lot of those taggers are doing other bad crimes too. People with jobs and families, or they're going to school, they don't have time to run around with a can of spray paint putting up indecipherable nonsense. I mean, can't believe how people glorify this stuff. It's not art. It's ugly. It's garbage. It's blight. It's crime.
Scribbling.
Yeah, it's the worst of our creative impulses.
Right,
not the
but
best.
You know, there are college professors that study graffiti, so.
There are college professors that study all kinds of aberrant behavior, and then they glorify the aberrant behavior. And then they get very trendy followings of people who want to show how they don't conform with society, that we're rebels.
All right, as soon as we return, the keyword is popping up on the John and Ken Show. You'll have a shot at $1,000. Just got to enter it at the website.
John and Ken, KFI, and Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
The six youngest Turpin siblings have filed a lawsuit against Riverside County and a private
farm. All right, in a moment, news out of Uvalde, Texas. There's a confrontation between the mother of the school shooter and some of the victims' families. There's also news on that police chief. But first, this.
Now, your chance to win $1,000. Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Pay. That's pay, P-A-Y. Enter it now at KFIAM640.com/cash. Powered by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you're hurt in an accident, winning is everything. Call the winning attorneys at Sweet James. 800-500-5200. That's 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
If you win, you'll get an email saying you won. Check your junk and spam folders in case it falls in there. Listen to KFI. There's a winning keyword every weekday from the 9 a.m. hour to the 5 p.m. hour. Next chance to win next hour at 4:20.
All right. Well, we know you're not supposed to rush to judgment, but good Lord, it may take until Saturday before they fire the Uvalde school police chief, Pete Arredondo. Everybody knows by now the lack of any action by what was about 400 police officers from a bunch of different agencies at Robb Elementary School back on May 24th when the school shooting began. This guy was supposed to be in charge. Maybe he didn't know he was supposed to be in charge. But the school board is probably going to vote Saturday to terminate him for the job. He's on administrative leave. He also got elected to the city council, but I think that got rescinded too. So this guy actually belongs, you know, in jail. Clearly, this was just horrible,
yeah.
Horrible situation.
When is like incompetence and idiocy enough to charge a crime? Because I don't know, commanding 376 officers and none of them go in is so egregious. I don't think there's a word to describe it. I mean, that's horrific. It's almost like he was an accomplice to all this.
I don't know why it takes so long. That was almost 2 months ago, the school shooting. We all know what happened. It's clear there's plenty of witness and video evidence of the inaction and the ineptitude and the fear,
and you know
the
what?
Cowardice.
The mayor still won't come out and even criticize, let alone punish, all the officers involved or the commanders.
Yeah, I think
that'll
come down the road because that just becomes a whole investigative reporting, civil service thing. That'll probably come down the road. That could be months from now. People have long forgotten the story. They'd be like, oh, yeah, I guess they fired some of the cops who didn't respond to the school shooting.
I guess there's no answer to this. It was some kind of groupthink that was going on. With human nature, like, fascinates me and amazes me constantly. It's like how you could have 375 cops who usually are on the high end of being gifted with testosterone.
Yeah.
Right? They're on alert. They're action-oriented people. That's why they got into the business. You know, they want to get into the action. They want to do something good, most of them.
Now, also dealing with that horrific school shooting that killed 19 students and two teachers, the school shooter was Salvador Ramos. His mother apparently was being followed. Her name is Adriana Martinez, by a Telemundo news crew. And as they were following her, apparently some of the family members of the victims of the Uvalde school shooting decided to confront her. One of the kids that was slaughtered is Amory Jo Garza. And they caught up with family members of Amory who caught up with Adriana Martinez and got into shouting. We had to take out some of the Spanish language exchange because you probably wouldn't know what was being said, but we can fill in some blanks. Here's some of the audio.
That was your son.
You have no right to judge my son. No, you don't. May God forgive y'all.
You know, daughter, you're the last person to judge me.
What reason did he have?
You know, the
what
mental
reason? Why didn't you call the cops to begin with?
I didn't
Whenever
know.
You...
I know my son was a coward. You don't think I don't know that? I know. You don't think I'm carrying all that with me? You don't think I don't know? I know. And I'm sorry.
Well, she spent her life as a drug addict, neglecting, probably abusing the son, certainly ignoring him in the later years. Do you know he was nicknamed by two groups? He earned the nickname school shooter by his classmates. And I read recently that he was online with a gamer group. And these are the people he played with regularly. And they nicknamed him school shooter as well. Can you imagine? Two groups of peers nickname you school shooter. And yet all the adults in town going, we didn't really know. We didn't see any signs. Maybe
probably revved him up more to eventually do what he did, too. Well, they're already calling me a school shooter.
So it's Adriana Martinez. She's screaming at some of the relatives of the dead children. You have no...
And she's saying you have no right to judge, right?
To judge my son. Is that fascinating? The depths of denial that people have.
The victims' families have no right to judge the killer of their child?
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
You're the last person to judge me. I mean, she created the monster, clearly. She and whatever idiot husband she had, who seems to be largely invisible.
Why didn't you call 911? I didn't know, you heard her say.
You didn't know.
Then she does finally say, I'm sorry.
That's funny. Everybody
I
else...
know my son was a coward.
A coward.
Yeah, as usual with these school shooter cases, it was a horrible home. With these parents. You're right. The father lived somewhere else.
He didn't care.
And he didn't care, and he didn't know.
Right. So the kid grows up insanely angry and disturbed. The mother has obviously terrible mental disorders, so he probably inherited all her demons. Yeah. And then you pile on all the abuse and the neglect. These are how the shooters are made. But, you know, that's the last thing, apparently, that... we collectively can spend 5 minutes analyzing. We'd rather just shout slogans about everything else instead of saying, look, here's the recipe for one of these monsters, recipe for one of the beasts.
The truth about most parents is they're the last people to want to believe something awful about their own kids. They just refuse. There's such an element of denial that there's anything wrong with their kids.
You know, but there are some parents...
their kid could be evil, their kid could be really sick.
There are some parents who believe everything is wrong with their kids.
Well,
and they're highly critical.
Yeah, but usually in those cases, there's nothing wrong with their kids.
Exactly. That's what's funny. A lot of good kids have parents who are constantly criticizing them and accusing them of one thing or another.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the day when a helicopter parent turns out a school shooter kid, because I don't think that's happened too often.
No. Is that fascinating?
As much as we criticize helicopter parents, they're probably not turning out a lot of killers.
All right. And helicopter parents make their kids crazy. But it's funny. It's like you can make a kid crazy, but he's not going to turn out violent if you overdo it. But if you ignore them, that's when you're planting the seeds of some violent reaction.
Right. All right. When we come back, apparently there was a city council meeting about a story we mentioned earlier this week concerning the poor dogs in LA's shelters. They're being neglected. They're not getting any exercise. It's horrible conditions. There was a back and forth, and of course, at the center of this is the Mr. Chinbag, L.A. City Councilman Paul Koretz. We'll talk about all this coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
Right. We're going to talk about going back to indoor masking next hour. Dr. Jeffrey Klausner will rejoin us from USC Keck School of Medicine. What? Oh, you're making a weird noise.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Anyway, he's got some thoughts on this return to the indoor mask mandate, another one that actually works in the medical field and believes this is an overreaction and a lot of hype on the part of the LA County Health Department. So we'll get to him coming up after this.
Just about everybody does.
You had mentioned this earlier this hour, so we might as well spend a couple minutes on it. The mayor of LA, Yoga Pants Garcetti, is not here. He is in Washington, D.C. The cover story is he's pushing for infrastructure bills.
They're all dead. Does he read the news?
He wants federal support for the Summit of the Americas conference that was held in... Oh, he wants money. Because that was kind of a flop.
Wait. Yeah, what?
Well, they cost him money and security and
what,
stuff
and
to
what
run
that. And what
came
of that? Is a bunch of blowhard boob politicians from all over North and South America got together and ate and drank. And at the end of it, what was the point?
I remember the Mexican president didn't go.
Couldn't they do this on Zoom?
They came up with some migration agreement, but it was a bunch of gobbledygook from what I read.
Migration agreement. I love those. Yeah. You can see things have changed drastically in the last few weeks.
But we know the real reason he's in Washington, D.C. is he's desperate to become ambassador to India and escape. Imagine that, wanting to escape L.A. for India. But we have heard nothing. This has been more than a month now that we thought time was running out on his nomination.
Well, time ran out. He just won't accept it.
Well, but they didn't withdraw it officially.
No, but...
they didn't move on to someone else yet, as far as we know.
No.
So...
But he's
they
not.
Have to do that to make it completely dead.
Well, the Senate's never going to take up the vote and pass his nomination. They're not going to do that. They've
maybe
told
after
them
the election.
No.
Maybe, I don't know.
No, I don't think they're ever going to do it.
Well,
he's damaged goods.
Right, but they haven't accepted that yet because they have not withdrawn the nomination to move on to someone else. That would be them saying...
Well, maybe they have and they're just making him dangle in the wind.
Well, maybe they're hoping he just withdraws to make it look like they dumped him.
Right.
Now.
Well, by the way, the parents, Gil Garcetti and the wife, what's his name? Her name, Suki? They hired some lobbyists, didn't they? That was a big story.
Yeah.
What became of that? How much money did they pay? And what did the lobbying look like? Please, please, please.
Maybe one day this week we're going to find out that they're voting and he passes and he's ambassador. Maybe it's...
This is the first time he's ever gotten a block in his life. He's probably been treated as this golden boy all his life.
Right.
You know, and he had a famous dad.
Right, elected to the city council, two terms as mayor.
Rhodes Scholar, right? He never ran into a no before.
Yeah, he's considered big stuff in his family.
And he can't accept it. I didn't lose. They didn't say no. I'll just keep asking.
He's probably been walking the halls of the Senate trying to get meetings, and nobody wants to see him.
He's what, about 50 years old, I guess?
He's in his 50s. I think he's like 53.
Yeah. Imagine you live 50 years, and you never had anybody say no to you. And then finally they do, and your whole psyche can't handle it. It can't accept it.
The L.A. City Council Committee that deals with animal welfare had a long meeting where they heard from a lot of people to discuss what's going on at L.A.'s shelters. These are city-run shelters. Dogs are doubled up. Kittens are dumped. Hamsters are going overnight with no food or water.
Deborah, do you believe this? Hamsters.
Yeah, that's sad.
Rabbits, too, are getting mistreated.
You can't not feed a hamster or deprive them of water for very long. They're tiny little things. They'll end up, a dried out husk by the next morning.
The Times did a story about the overcrowded kennels. There's not enough volunteers. Dogs don't get walked for weeks. So Paul Koretz, who chairs this committee, unbelievable blowhard. First, he thanked the brave whistleblowers. But apparently this story's been around for years. This is not something new out of nowhere.
They've constantly complained to Koretz. He didn't care. Remember Daniel Gus's report? We had him on the air. He's an independent journalist. And he said Koretz got hold of $1 million from some older woman who died and willed the $1 million to these animal shelters. And the money has gone poof. Nobody knows what happened to it.
Coincidentally, on that topic, I Googled. It's called the Animal Welfare Trust Fund. And it's a story from 2019. Are the animal welfare trust funds being misused? It's in City Watch.
Yeah.
So it's like the same thing, just keeps happening.
So, yeah, that's the thing is, you occasionally get in a small news website a story doing an investigation or asking some provocative questions. And you know those questions come from real information that's floating around. But nobody follows up on it. So $1 million disappears. Koretz is never chased about it. Nobody ever does an audit. And who's going to complain? You know, the woman's dead. So who knows where the money went?
You know, this story that the El Segundo Times ran does not even mention the trust fund. So I don't know what to make of that.
Because
part of
this. Cover up. They cover up for people like Koretz. That's what the Times does.
Mostly they're just complaining about staffing shortages. There is a call by several to take these shelters away from the city and privatize their running. Because the city's incompetent.
When you have a staffing shortage, I love the way they use these bureaucratic terms. It means you didn't hire people. Why didn't you hire them?
Oh, they're claiming COVID-19 makes people stay home and isolate. So,
now you know losing people. Animal lovers are not going to be dissuaded. This is about walking dogs outdoors. There's no COVID situation.
Well, but they've been told they have to stay and isolate even if they have no symptoms.
That's not rational when you have animals. Somebody's got to go. It's like a hospital. You have to go in and care for them. That's the obligation that the city has. And if there's a COVID outbreak, then, you know, you work around it. And you follow all the safety protocols just the way they would at a hospital. None of this is flying. This is all bull crap. This is all feces here.
This is what Daniel Gus said Koretz is good at doing. He's going to hold a second hearing in August and will release a report. That's all he does. He usually commissions some sort of a study, releases a report. And a bunch of people that called in said, an emergency meeting? This has been going on for years. You're acting like this is a new emergency?
No.
It's because it made the LA Times and got a lot of attention that you're embarrassed by this and you've decided to hold some kind of a hearing to make it look like you're doing something.
51 vacancies with 58 other staff members out due to COVID-19 exposure or a positive test. So maybe you need a lot more people to handle the COVID churn. Maybe there should be more, you know, part-time people on call. They have more money than they've ever had in the city of Los Angeles. They'll never have more money than this because of all the fake government money Biden sent. So, and it was COVID money, right? So this would be a legitimate use. Okay, we're short 50 people because of COVID exposure, whatever that is. Where's the secondary staff? Where are the backups? What's the 51 vacancies? This is just incompetent mismanagement. These are people who don't care about animals. They happen to have the animals. They happen to have a job at an animal shelter, but they don't actually care about the animals. They won't even hire people. You telling me in the culture we have where many people prize animals over other humans, you can't find 50 people to work and pay them a decent salary? That's what the tax money goes for.
All right, we got more coming up.
Maybe if we weren't spending so much money cleaning graffiti on the 6th Street Bridge. That's just outrageous. John and Ken show, KFI.
Well, we'll be joined by a medical expert, because that's what we do on this show. The other day, we presented to you some audio from the L.A. County Hospital System's top medical officer about all the hype over this latest round of COVID infections. We'll be talking next hour to Dr. Jeffrey Klausner, clinical professor. He's at Keck School of Medicine.
And he's sane.
And he's sane.
He's sane. We have sane medical guests on the air.
He used to be the U.S. Centers for Disease Prevention and Control medical officer. He used to be one of theirs. So
yeah. Last time we had him on was about monkeypox.
That's right.
This time, we're just going to talk about the hype and the masks.
Yeah, the headline is COVID-19 numbers are pretty meaningless. Meaningless.
Well, yeah, because most people aren't reporting their illnesses anymore. They take a home test and they either got it or they don't. So,
right, and most people are really symptomless.
That's right. In a week, they're back out on the ball field.
Right. So,
that's just, which, I don't know, that's what most winters are like, right?
What we have is social engineering going on as LA County continues to bring us the gloomy news that the indoor mask mandate is coming back on July 29th. So
I don't know. I don't know
how we're going to stop this.
I was just telling Deborah, I said, I'm ready for, I want to commandeer one of Elon Musk's rockets and just launch out of here. Just leave the planet. The planet is, on a minute-by-minute basis, the planet is getting intolerable. And I don't know how much more I can put up with it. And I think I just might liquidate all my savings and buy a seat on one of his rockets and then commandeer it.
Oh, you'll miss us too much.
Well, some people, for a few minutes. But man, what would that be like just soaring through space? Looking at all the far-off galaxies. That's how I get myself to sleep at night. I think about things like that. You all mock me. You'll see. One day I'll be in a rocket. I'll be your breaking news story.
Please, all right, well, can we do that tomorrow?
Maybe.
One of our stories last month to torture a vegan was about this product from a company called Daily Harvest, a vegan frozen food delivery service. Apparently some people that had eaten a product called French lentil and leek crumble got sick and some lost their gallbladders.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Boy, that's bad food.
The company could not offer an explanation, saying that they had tested the product and couldn't understand what could make these people sick. Well, we now have allegedly an answer. They believe it is tara flour.
All right. Do you
I don't know if I've ever consumed that.
It comes from a seed typically grown in Peru and is used as a protein source and thickening agent.
Mm-hmm. And people have experienced stomach, liver, and gallbladder issues.
That apparently is the finding.
And, it really kills your organs. Your skin and eyes yellow. You get jaundice. Oh. You end up with dark urine. You have itching, but no rash. Gastrointestinal illness, you know what that is. Nausea, fatigue, body aches, severe abdominal pain, and fever.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is...
Well, I'm okay, so obviously it hasn't happened
to me. Have you had this Daily Harvest?
No.
Sounds like poison.
Yeah.
Well, if you read about a poison causing these symptoms, you'd say, wow, what did they drink, Drano?
Just these lentil crumbles apparently had the tara flour.
Well, I love lentils. I've just never had lentil crumble.
And then the leek crumble.
Oh, I love leeks, too.
But you haven't had this product?
Nope. Mm-mm. I love lentils and I love leeks, I haven't had them together and not in a crumble.
But this is why I'm worried when you bring in weird vegan stuff for me to eat. Mm-hmm. And you'll swear up and down that the thing is safe, and right. Then you don't know if there's tara flour in there.
Well, I'm still alive, so most of the things I've brought to you, I've sampled, I haven't been affected.
But I would have died. I would have lost my gallbladder.
No, because I would have died first.
But my question is, I'm sure tara flour has been used in other products and it didn't kill people or require their gallbladders to be removed. What did they do with this particular product, these leek and lentil crumbles with the tara flour, that caused this terrible outcome? They're claiming now that they believe it was completely isolated to that one product, lentil and leek crumble, and that they are now safe with their manufacturing and supply chain. By the way, it is celebrity backed by the likes of Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, there you go. That should have been the tip off.
There's some hidden products in there.
Yeah. See, when I saw Gwyneth Paltrow, I thought, well, yeah, of course.
They said that they got 470 reports of illness.
That's a lot.
Or adverse reactions to the crumbles.
Okay, so that's just not, you know, crackpots.
No, people with liver and gallbladder dysfunction.
When they're taking your gallbladder out, now something bad's happened here.
Now, the attorney for 230 people sickened. We've had him on the show, the food safety lawyer, Bill Marler. I remember talking to him years ago.
Oh, we should
ago.
Get him out again, on again then.
We should. He said because they're going to do their own investigation. They're not necessarily buying this report from the company Daily Harvest.
That it's the tara flour?
That's correct, right. They say that this is coming from their investigation team.
I mean,
they claim they're working with the FDA, but the tower flower producer and others to determine what specifically made people sick.
Well,
but they believe it's probably from that ingredient.
Is that a common ingredient? Because I don't know this.
I have never seen it.
See, you never heard of it. That's suspicious to me.
Well, I don't necessarily look at every single ingredient, but that one I don't recall. In anything I've cooked, at least, I don't know if it's in something that I've consumed from a restaurant.
And it's a seed?
Yeah, you see, they're trying to make up for your lack of protein. That's why they put it in there.
See, just have real
protein.
Although
you don't really you're not getting a protein.
But you know what, Ken? It's weird because lentils have a lot of protein, so you don't really
apparently
need
not enough. They have to stick some tara flour in there.
Wow, that's weird.
Have a cheeseburger. There's plenty of protein in a cheeseburger. There's no need for this.
Okay.
Tower flower.
I'll pass.
All right. There goes your gallbladder, followed by your liver. Look. It's all on the floor there.
There's something else. There's something fishy going on here, okay?
Her gallbladder.
You blow them all your organs out.
All right. Dr. Jeffrey Klausner is coming on next from the Keck School of Medicine, and he's taking a look at the whole COVID story right now, and we'll get the real story on the numbers coming up next.
John and Ken Show. Deborah, Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.